You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 9 and verses 14 to 29 as we continue in our series, Don't Waste the Victory. 2 Kings chapter 9, starting at verse 14. So Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram and all Israel had been defending Ramoth-Gilead against Hazael, king of Aram. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds the Arameans had inflicted on him in the battle with Hazael, king of Aram. Jehu said, "If this is the way you feel, don't let anyone slip out of the city to go and tell the news in Jezreel." Then he got into his chariot and rode to Jezreel because Joram was resting there and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had gone down to see him. When the lookout standing on the tower in Jezreel saw Jehu's troops approaching, he called out, "I see some troops coming." "Get a horseman," Joram ordered. "Send him to meet them and ask, 'Do you come in peace?'" The horseman rode off to meet Jehu and said, "This is what the king says. Do you come in peace?" "What do you have to do with peace?" Jehu replied. "Fall in behind me." The lookout reported, "The messenger has reached them, but he isn't coming back." So the king sent out a second horseman. When he came to them, he said, "This is what the king says. Do you come in peace?" Jehu replied, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." The lookout reported, "He has reached them, but he isn't coming back either. The driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman." "Hitch up my chariot," Joram ordered. And when it was hitched up, Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, rode out, each in his own chariot, to meet Jehu. They met him at the plot of ground that had belonged to Naboth the Jezreelite. When Joram saw Jehu, he asked, "Have you come in peace, Jehu?" "How can there be peace," Jehu replied, "as long as all the idolatry and witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abound?" Joram turned around and fled, calling out to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah!" Then Jehu drew his bow and shot Joram between the shoulders. The arrow pierced his heart, and he slumped down in his chariot. Jehu said to Bidkar, his chariot officer, "Pick him up and throw him on the field that belonged to Naboth the Jezreelite. Remember how you and I were riding together in chariots behind Ahab his father when the Lord made this prophecy about him? Yesterday I saw the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, declares the Lord, and I will surely make you pay for it on this plot of ground, declares the Lord. Now then, pick him up and throw him on that plot in accordance with the word of the Lord." When Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw what had happened, he fled up the road to Beth-Hagan. Jehu chased him and shouting, "Kill him too!" They wounded him in his chariot on the way up to Gur near Iblim, but he escaped to Megiddo and died there. His servants took him by chariot to Jerusalem and buried him with his fathers in his tomb in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king of Judah. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've given us victory in this spiritual battle against the devil. I pray you just help us to be realizing that victory every single day, especially in these last days. And teach us today, Lord, what we need to do to have that victory. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last month, Tucker Carlson, who's never considered himself to be any kind of a serious Christian, told a reporter about something that happened to him a year and a half ago when him and his family were on vacation in a cabin.
I had a direct experience with it.
In the milieu of journalism or just...
No, in my bed at night, and I got attacked while I was asleep with my wife and four dogs in the bed and mauled. Physically mauled.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yeah, by a demon. Or by something unseen that left...
Is that right?
Claw marks on my sides, on my...
So it left physical marks?
Oh, they're still there. Yeah, yeah. A year and a half ago.
Folks, Tucker Carlson got attacked by a demon spirit so bad the claw marks are still on his body a year and a half later. And the reason he hasn't talked about it for a year and a half is because it freaked him out so bad. Holy, deliver us from evil, people. Tucker Carlson got attacked by a demon because there is a God and there is a devil. There is a Holy Spirit and there are unholy spirits. And they're not only attacking people, they're also attacking this entire country. And if we don't apply the victory that God gave us last November the 5th, we're going to waste that victory. And this entire country is going to turn into the kingdom of darkness right in front of our very eyes. Amen. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Don't Waste the Victory, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do to maximize the victory that Donald Trump won for America last November the 5th. Exactly the same kind of victory that King Jehu won for the northern kingdom of Israel 800 years before the birth of Christ. Last week, we wised up to see what this victory over the enemy was really all about. And today, we need to armor up so that we can have victory over the devil, the biggest enemy of all. And to see that, we turn today to 2 Kings chapter 9 and verses 14 to 29. In this part of 2 Kings chapter 9, Jehu starts fulfilling his calling of killing all the members of the family of Ahab and Jezebel. And in our text today, he kills King Joram, the son of Ahab and Jezebel. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we want to armor up and have victory over the devil, we need to do exactly the same things that Jehu does here. Our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 14 to 29, tells us three things that we need to do to armor up against the devil so we can have victory over him and claim that victory in Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to armor up against the devil, we need to be aware of him. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 14 and 15. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, I don't even believe there is a devil. The devil doesn't care if you believe in him or not, just as long as you don't believe in God. The devil is not fake news. He's not a debunked conspiracy theory. The devil is not just a symbol. He is a person. People, if you've ever seen a little five-year-old boy defying gravity, crawling across the ceiling like a spider, if you have ever seen a little 90-pound woman throw five 200-pound men clear across the parking lot, if you've seen demonic power one time, just one time, I guarantee you, you will believe that the devil is real and you will never forget it for the rest of your life. Amen. You've got to be aware of him. The Bible tells us to be aware of him. Isaiah chapter 14 says the devil started out as God's worship leader in heaven, an angel named Lucifer. But he got a big head and tried to take over. So the archangel Michael kicked him out of heaven with all of his homies. One third of all the other angels who followed him kicked him down here to this earth where they became the devil and his demons. Amen. So the devil didn't just go down to Georgia. He went everywhere. And because the devil and the demons hate God, they also hate you because you've been created in the image of God. So they are on a search and destroy mission to steal and kill and destroy you in any way they possibly can. John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen. Last week, the cops in Humboldt Park got caught because a coyote got into an Aldi's grocery store and was hiding in a cooler in the dairy section. And the cops had to pull him out of there. But folks, I got to tell you, there's something a lot worse than a coyote hiding around the edges of your life. And that's the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, trying to eat you alive. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Kevin Garner has a lot of enemies. I got a lot of people who hate my guts. But the biggest enemy that I have of all is the devil. And you know what? His number one enemy is he's your number one enemy too. The devil lies to people. Tempts people to sin. Right now, Airbnb owners in Los Angeles, California are refusing to give refunds to people who've rented property there because they say the wildfires are not a major disruptive event. Are you kidding me? You talk about money grubbing. The devil messes with people's heads and confuses them so that people in America today don't even know what a woman is anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The devil blinds people to the truth of the gospel so that they can't get saved. Amen. So the devil not only puts you through hell in this life, he'll take you to hell after this life is over if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil deceives people. Right now, the Satanic Church in America, called the Satanic Temple, is building abortion clinics in every state in this country with the slogan, right for your life. Mocking the Christian pro-life, right to life movement. All the appointments are virtual. All the abortions are chemical. And the only thing people have to pay for is the pills. Folks, the devil himself pushing child sacrifice. And you would not believe how busy those clinics are. Folks, the devil isn't slowing down. He's doubling down because he knows these are the last days and his time is short. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Now, the devil is not as smart and he's not as powerful as God. But listen to me. He's a lot smarter and a lot more powerful than you. Don't you dare underestimate this enemy. You've got to be aware. We've got to be aware that Ahab and Jezebel and King Joram here in Jehu's day weren't just men and women. They were demon spirits manifesting in those men and women. 1 Kings chapter 1, 21, verse 25 says, King Ahab sold himself to do evil. Sold himself to who? To the devil. And that's why that same verse says he was the most wicked king that Israel ever had. And his wife Jezebel was a witch who brought Baal worship to Israel and destroyed all the altars and the real worship of God and closed all the Bible colleges and murdered all the prophets of the Lord except for Elijah. So Cruella de Vil, Jezebel was not just a woman. She was a demon spirit manifesting in that woman. Amen. And Ahab and Jezebel got together and stole a vineyard from a man named Naboth in Jezreel. And then Jezebel had him murdered to cover it up. You talk about evil. And the Lord never forgot it. And their demon seed son, Joram, was just as bad. And he's like the devil here. He was the temporary counterfeit ruler of Israel, just like the devil is the temporary counterfeit ruler of this present world. John chapter 12, verse 31. So God had Jehu replace Joram as king. And God told Jehu to kill every single member of Ahab and Jezebel's family. Every descendant, every single last mother's son of them. Because God sent him prophet after prophet to warn them. He sent them drought after drought to get their attention, but they never repented. And God knew they never would. So verses 14 and 15, Jehu conspires against Joram. Because Joram is the first name on the hit list. Jehu makes sure that word about his mission doesn't get out of the city of Ramoth-Gilead. Ahead to the city of Jezreel, he makes his plans. Jehu is aware. People, let me ask you this morning, are you aware of the devil? You got a plan to deal with him? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says what? He often appears how? As an angel of light. The movie Wicked.
This is so much bigger than us.
I'm not afraid. It's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
You say, Kevin, it's just a prequel to The Wizard of Oz. Folks, it's witchcraft and demon spirits and gender confusion and lesbianism. Things The Wizard of Oz never even came close to. Amen. And it's called Wicked. Because they're not even trying to hide it anymore. That Christmas movie, Dear Santa. A kid misspells Santa, so it spells Satan. So his Christmas letter goes to Satan instead. So the devil comes and hangs out with him. Isn't the devil cool? He's just one of your bros. He's just a member of your crew. Folks, it's demonic evangelism. This generation being groomed to desensitize to the devil and the demonic who's trying to drag him into hell. Amen. We've got to beware. Because the devil doesn't always show up looking like Rosemary's baby. More often than not, he comes like that. Last Thursday, January the 9th, was the funeral for President Jimmy Carter, who died last December the 29th at the age of 100. And for a rare, very occurrence that day, all living presidents were in the exact same place at the same time in the front of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. And I don't count Joe Biden because Joe Biden was never really the president. And the seats were all assigned by the cathedral people. So the first row was for the president and the vice president and their spouses. The third row was for the vice presidents and their wives. The second row was for the presidents and their wives, from newest to oldest. And people, you talk about bad blood in that room that day. Now, the first ones that came in were Donald Trump and his wife, Melania. Notice he comes in. He shakes hands with Vice President Al Gore, and he's headed toward his seat. And there's Mike Pence. Mike Pence, who stabbed Donald Trump in the back January the 6th, 2021, because he would not send the phony results of the election back to the states for review. Mike Pence had not seen Donald Trump since that day. Yet he still stood up and shook his hand. But notice his wife, Karen Pence, wouldn't even look at Donald Trump and Melania, wouldn't even acknowledge that they were there and alive, wouldn't even be cordial to the guy and his wife who were responsible for her and her husband's butts even being in those chairs to start with. Rear. Next person to come in was Barack Obama. And Barack Obama shakes hands with all the vice presidents. Barack Obama has always been very gracious in public. It's what he does in private and behind the scenes you got to watch out for. Because notice, that's why Donald Trump didn't stand up for him. But after he sat down by Donald Trump, even though 10, 11 weeks ago he was telling the entire country that Donald Trump was a racist and a Nazi, Donald Trump starts yucking it up with him. Next was George W. Bush and his wife, Laura. W. hates Donald Trump with a purple prickly pear passion because Donald Trump destroyed his brother Jeb Bush in the 2016 primaries. So notice, W. didn't even acknowledge Donald Trump and Melania at all. He gave Obama a bro tap on the chest and shook hands with all the vice presidents behind him, even Al Gore, who took him to court to try to steal the 2000 election with hanging chads. W. even shook hands with Obama, who followed him in office and slammed him over and over again, but never even looked at Donald Trump. Then Slick Willie and Hillpill came in, Bill and Hillary Clinton. And they shook hands with some people, except for Obama, who Hillary hates. And of course, they never acknowledged that Donald Trump was even there at all. But notice, Karen Pence even shook hands with him. The Democrat presidents were friendlier to Donald Trump than even the Republicans were. Then the first row, Kamala Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff, walk in. Next video. And notice, nobody shook hands with her because nobody likes her. Because she's not likable. And after she sits down, a couple seconds later, she turns around and looks at Barack Obama talking to Donald Trump. And turns around with a look on her face that could have stopped a train. Holy, if looks could kill people. Like, I thought you were my friend. Why are you talking to him? And then you don't see the video, Joe Biden and Jill Biden come in. And nobody shakes hands with them either because nobody likes them either. And because Kamala Harris was part of the coup that got Joe Biden to drop out of the race, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, between the Bidens and Kamala Harris. Wow. Those people would have looked happier at their own funeral. It was so cold there in that room, I thought it was going to snow inside. And people, listen to me, I am not gloating. And you know why? Because you know what that shows? Even people in the highest positions of power and authority in the entire world are just like us. Because when there's dirt between them and somebody else, they hold grudges just like we do. Jesus forgives us immediately. We hold on to grudges against people forever and ever and ever. And it makes us look like two-year-olds just as much as it does the presidents of the United States. And not only that, folks, grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness is the number one way the devil and demon spirits get a foothold in our lives. Because instead of forgiving somebody and letting it go forever, those demon spirits just recycle that hurt in our minds over and over and over again. And even years later, we're still thinking about what we should have said to them or what we should have done or how we can get back at them. And it keeps us from being the witnesses and the servants that God wants us to be and calls us to be. And I know exactly what I'm talking about because I've struggled with a lot of bitterness over the years. So people, listen to me. Today, right here, right now, you take whatever that hurt is that you have in your life, turn it over to Jesus Christ, start letting it go, and give the devil and the demons the beatdown that they deserve. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. Amen. The first thing we need to do to armor up against the devil, we need to be aware of him. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to armor up against the devil. We not only need to be aware of him, we also need to take him on. And that's exactly what Jehu does here in verses 16 to 23. Because you can't just ignore the devil and demon spirits and hope they'll go away. Last week, a 55-year-old man named Michael Lewis from Dallas, Texas, was charged with stalking WNBA star Caitlin Clark. going to all of her games and sending her all kinds of raunchy, violent text messages. So that judge ordered him to stop the texting and stay at least 500 feet away from her at all times. And people, in case you don't know it, you've got stalkers too. The devil and his demons. Every breath you take, every move you make, every step you take, they are watching you. And folks, the person that needs to order them to stay away from you is you. Because Luke chapter 10, verse 19, God's not only called you to do that, he's given you the authority to do that. He's given you complete and total authority over everything the devil wants to do to you. You just got to take him on. And that's exactly what Jehu does here. Now, King Joram is in Jezreel, about 50 miles away from where Jehu started. And he's all stove up after being wounded in battle against the Arameans. And his cousin, Ahaziah, the king of Judah, is with him because they were going to watch the Notre Dame-Ohio State game together. And people, Jehu can't get there. He can't get to Jezreel fast enough. Burning through horses and chariots, pedal to the metal, driving like he stole it. He didn't even stop for coffee. An observer on the tower in Jezreel sees he's coming. He says, that's got to be Jehu because he drives like Kevin Garner, like a madman. Joram says, we'll take a couple of messengers and find out what he wants. Verses 18 to 20, the messengers go out and meet Jehu. They realize if you can't beat him, join him. And most of the army of Israel goes over to Jehu's side. Verses 21 and 22, Joram says, okay, I'll go meet Jehu myself. Jumps in a chariot, him and Ahaziah, and they go meet him. And where? Where does the text say? On the plot of ground that used to be Naboth's vineyard. And you know, you just know that something is going to hit the fan because that is the exact place where God said the judgment against the house of Ahab and Jezebel was going to start. Joram asked King Jehu, have you come in peace? Jehu said, you choke on peace. There is no peace for the wicked. And verse 23, Joram cries out treachery because he realized Jehu was there to kill him. And I know there's some snowflakes listening to this sermon right now, getting the vapors and wringing your hands saying, yeah, Jehu is going to kill Joram, just like all you Trump supporters, you MAGA people, are going to kill everybody who didn't vote for Donald Trump and kill everybody who doesn't think like you do. No. Because Ephesians chapter 12, 6 verse 12 says, our biggest enemy, our ultimate enemy is not people. It's demon spirits working in those people. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, our weapons are not natural. They're not physical like AR-15s. Our biggest weapon is prayer. Amen. So we're not going to take people out, but we are going to take the devil on. Amen. We're going to take on the devil. We need to understand how the devil and demon spirits get in our lives to start with. And the question always comes up, can a Christian be possessed by the devil or a demon spirit? No. You can't be possessed by the devil because you are already possessed by God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says you are God's very own possession. And the Holy Spirit you have inside of you is a lot more powerful than the unholy spirits who are trying to get inside of you. Now, can a Christian be oppressed by a demon spirit? Absolutely. And it's the difference between occupancy and ownership. Now, if you're a Democrat and you take the front door off of your house and let anybody from the entire world come into your house and do whatever it is they want to do, which the Democrats tell us we ought to be doing, those interlopers do not own your house, but they are occupying it. The same with us and Christians and in our lives and demon spirits. We still belong to Jesus, but we've got some squatters in our lives. The devil and some demon spirits who are crashing the party. And you know why they're there? Because we've done something to open the door and let them in. How does the devil and demon spirits get in our lives? Anything occult. Astrology, horoscopes, witchcraft, watching horror movies, casting spells, burning sage, Reiki, magic crystals, psychic readings, tarot cards. I could go on and on. Last September, 17-year-old Stephen Marquez, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, committed suicide after playing with an Ouija board with a bunch of his friends. Isaac Gould, who created the Ouija board and filed a patent for it, in his patent file says it's demon spirits that move the marker in that game. Folks, the occult is the devil's territory. You get on the devil's territory, he won't just tempt you, he'll bite you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. Amen. Generational spirits can be passed down in families, like they were in Ahab and Jezebel's family. Singer Billy Ray Cyrus. Parents were an absolute mess, and they got a divorce when he was just 5 years old. So then 1991, Billy Ray Cyrus divorced his first wife. 2022, he divorced his second wife named Tish. Just last year, 2024, divorced his third wife named Fire Rose. His kids are all freaks. His daughter, Miley Cyrus, is a flaming atheist. And just this past year, his ex-wife, Tish, married the same man who was just hooking up with her own daughter. Folks, more demon spirits there than the Addams family. Any traumatic experience you go through, having an abortion, getting raped, getting abused, losing somebody very close to you, demon spirits can latch onto that and turn it into something that is far, far worse, something that's far beyond just normal grief and depression and PTSD. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 calls it a spirit of heaviness. And all the Adderall and the Xanax and the counseling sessions in the world will never take it away. Sex creates a spiritual bond between two people. Soul tie. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. So during sex, demon spirits can be passed on from one person to the other, like an STD. Even with porn. Even with soft porn, like you find on the short reels on Facebook. And the porn and the drinking and the drugs and the smoking and the getting high. Anything that causes you to lose control, anything that causes your mind to go blank is an open door for a demon spirit to get into your life. Matthew chapter 12, verse 44. Understand how the previous slide. To understand how the devil gets into our lives, we've got to realize how the devil operates. Do we understand that? And I realize it's so easy for us to blame our sins on demon spirits. I have a big problem with ice cream because I have two spirits inside of me, one named Dairy and the other one named Queen. And when they get together, there's trouble. No. But folks, addictions, smoking, food, porn, your phone, drinking, smoking pot, sometimes they're not just natural habits. Sometimes they're supernatural strongholds. Especially if you can't get victory over them, if you can't overcome them. Sometimes it's not a lack of discipline. Sometimes it's a demon spirit. Take on the devil, we got to realize how the devil works in our lives. Amen. Young people who cut themselves. Girls who do self-injury. Puking up everything you eat. Anorexia. Suicide attempts. Anything that's self-destructive, that's demonic influence. The devil whispering those bad things in your ear. You're never going to get healed. Your husband is never going to quit drinking. Your kids are never going to get saved. You're worthless. You're a loser. Nobody loves you. You might as well kill yourself. Sound familiar? That's demonic influence. Folks, spiritual warfare, more than anything else, is a battle for our minds. Amen. Things that we say and do that we can't explain. A couple weeks ago, Sue got so upset at me because I was working so much. She said, I might as well be living by myself. And immediately I said, you'd like that, wouldn't you? And the nanosecond I said that, I thought, that's not true. That's wrong. She doesn't want me dead. She doesn't want to live without me. Why did I say that? People, it wasn't me saying that. Every single one of us Christians is being attacked 24/7, 365 and oppressed by demonic spirits because that's what they do. That's why they exist. Last December the 31st at a goat show, Vista Ridge High School in Cedar Park, Texas, a 17-year-old student named Aubrey Van Landingham force-fed pesticide to another girl's goat in that show because she thought if she eliminated that one, she could get first place. That poor thing, a male goat named Willie, died convulsing in his owner's arms 21 hours later. And Aubrey Van Landingham was saying in the AP, how could I do something like that? How in the world could I do something like that? Folks, some things aren't natural. They're supernatural. That's not just being mean. That's demonic influence. We've got to take the devil on. And we've been doing that here at Fox River for a coon's age. Many moons ago, the guy that I did jail ministry with taught me how to cast out demon spirits. And I've been doing it for over 35 years. Mostly people from outside this church. Don't advertise. It's all by word of mouth. I've been able to do all kinds of incredible things with people. Laying hands on people and casting demon spirits out of houses. A lot of people come from churches where the pastor doesn't understand demonic power. Well, after years and years of me and Sue doing those things like that by ourselves, I asked some people here at Fox River Church to join me. Mike and Teresa Musser, Linda Ness, and John and Sonny Stuffelby. And they prayed over a lot of people over the years and over a lot of houses, and they've helped all kinds of people get set free from demonic influence. One time we got a call from a family in our church with several kids. The youngest one was a newborn baby. And they told us there were some really funny things going on in their house. Lights going on and off, things being moved around. And one of the little girls was always asking, "Mommy, who's that man standing beside the TV?" And Mom couldn't see anybody by the TV, but the little girl could, and she could even describe him. People's a demon spirit. And the biggest reason for the demons, Dad wasn't saved, so there wasn't any spiritual covering or spiritual protection for the family. And the devil was having a field day. So we all went over there, and folks, the demonic presence in that house was so bad, when Teresa Musser held that newborn baby, as God is my witness, that little baby's eyes rolled over black like a doll's eyes. But Teresa didn't freak out. She just kept praying. She just kept taking authority in the name of Jesus, and that little baby's eyes went back to normal. Now, we did everything we always do. We pray over the entire house. We anoint everything with oil. We prayed over every room. We prayed over every door and window, every opening in every room. Prayed where the TV comes in, where the internet comes in, everything. We prayed over the entire family. We prayed over the parents, and we prayed for the kids. And then we got the heck out of there. And what do you know? After we left, the dad got saved. And all the demonic stuff in that house completely and totally disappeared and never came back. Ghostbusters couldn't have done it no better. And people, let me ask you, how in the world could people like this, how are they capable of doing that? Where do they get the power from to put the run on the devil and demon spirits? Because they're not Superman and Wonder Woman. They're not the Avengers. They're not professional exorcists with wooden stakes and silver bullets. Mike Musser worked at ComEd. Teresa did accounting. She's a mother and a grandmother. Linda Ness is our church secretary. She's worked in Ottawa schools for years and years. John and Sonny Stuffelbeam were just mild-mannered employees of BP in Naperville. Where did they get the power to do that? How could they do something like that? I'll tell you, simply because they're Christians and simply because they have the Holy Spirit and simply because they realize that God is good and the demons are evil, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, the demons have to go. And because they were willing to stand up when the demons showed up. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he who is in them than he that is in the world. And you know what that shows us, Christians? If they can do it, you can do it too. Because Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus says, in my name, people won't just want to cast out demons. They won't just try to cast out demons. They will cast out demons. If and only if they're willing to take them on. The second thing we need to do to armor up against the devil, we need to take him on. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to armor up against the devil. We not only need to be aware of him, we not only need to take him on, but third, we need to cast him out. Amen. Because devil and demon spirits are not going to go away on their own. You got to make them go away. Amen. You can't just wait them out, you got to drive them out. Last December the 7th, the Satanic Temple put up a demonic display right next to baby Jesus in the manger in a park in Concord, New Hampshire. The statue of Baphomet with a stole on that had all kinds of demonic symbols on it, pentagrams, upside down crosses, you name it. Because everybody knows Christmas is all about the devil. Well, folks, that abomination wasn't even there for 48 hours. And that 28-year-old Christian, Joshua Cummings, took a sledgehammer and busted that thing to pieces. And why did he do it? This is what he said. I didn't do it because I hate Satanists. The Satanists are just lost, and I pray they all repent. I did it because as a Christian, I hate Satan. And displays like that are just demonic and a way for demons to get into people's lives. And as a Christian, I just can't tolerate that. Touche! When it comes to demon spirits, you don't tolerate them. You eliminate them. And that's exactly what Jehu does here. Verse 23, when Joram says treachery, he tries to hightail it out of there in his chariot and get back to safety inside the city. Verse 24, Jehu takes his bow, draws it back full strength, and shoots an arrow right between Joram's shoulder blades, right smack dab through the middle of his heart, bullseye. And because Jehu is special ops and knows how to, is an expert with a bow and arrow, he obviously wasn't just trying to wound him or slow him down. He wasn't just trying to shoot him in the arm or the leg like Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke. He wasn't just trying to wing him, he was trying to kill him, and he did. SEAL sniper Chris Kyle couldn't have done no better. And King Ahaziah of Judah, Jehu and his men shoot him too. And he makes it as far as Megiddo, and he dies there. Because he was related to Ahab and Jezebel as well. And notice, King Ahaziah here, or King Jehu, doesn't hardly say anything at all. And you know why? Because he doesn't have to. Because he wasn't there to chat him up. He was there to cast him out. Now, we can't kill demons because they're spiritual beings. They're going to live forever in the pits of hell when Jesus puts them there. But we can sure enough shut them up and get them out of our lives. Amen. Now, I realize that demon spirits, this is a topic that the vast majority of churches in America today wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole because it's not seeker sensitive. But here at Fox River, we're Holy Spirit sensitive. And we realize this isn't peacetime, it's wartime. So we've got to talk about this stuff. So if you ever come in contact with somebody who's possessed by a demon spirit, they'll probably yell at you, scream at you, cuss you out. They'll probably say all kinds of horrible things about you. Maybe they can try to spit on you or puke on you. You say, well, Kevin, how do you really know if it's a demon spirit? If a 12-year-old girl starts talking to you sounding like Darth Vader and James Earl Jones, you can bet the farm that's the devil. And why do they go off on you? Because they're afraid of the Jesus in you. Because they know what Jesus is going to do to them in the end. And because they're afraid, they try to do things to make you afraid so you leave them alone. But you do not be afraid. Because Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says you've already won the battle against them. Because that battle against devil and demons is already decided by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago at the cross. So when you're encountering this demon, you don't have an argument with them. You don't talk back to them. You don't go back and forth because you're not there to chat them up. You're there to cast them out. And all you need to do that is the name of Jesus. So you simply say something like, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, come out and be gone. You say, well, Kevin, what if they don't go? They will go. Because James chapter 4 verse 7 says, you rebuke the devil, he will flee from you. Not might flee, will flee. Now, if the person has more than one demon, or if there's a place or a house that has more than one demon, you may have to do it more than once. There's a house in this area I had to go back to 8 different times before the demons finally left. But they will go because they have to obey the name of Jesus Christ. And then once the demons are gone, you help that person shut the door. Get that thing out of their life that brought the demon spirits in there to begin with. Anything to do with the occult. If they got little Buddha statues at home, they've got to go. Folks, those Native American dream catchers are demon catchers because that's why the Native Americans make them. They've got to go. Have that person confess and repent of anything occult in their past history, in their family, some of their ancestors. Have them confess and repent any sexual relationship they've ever had outside of marriage. And if they've got letters, if they've got gifts from ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends or ex-wives or ex-husbands, those things have to go, especially if those people were demonic and controlling and abusive. Amen. Then you have that person surrender all their strongholds and all their addictions to Jesus Christ. You get them filled with the Holy Spirit and closer to the Lord than they have ever been before in their lives. And that people is casting out demons 101. Any questions? And folks, we've got to realize this demonic attack that we're seeing in America right now is not just personal, it's national. Because this attack isn't just against people, it's against our entire country. And we're seeing that everywhere. Last month, an illegal from Venezuela murdered a woman on a New York City subway train by setting her on fire and burning her alive. Folks, we're already seeing the spirit of Antichrist. We're already seeing all the evil things that are going to be happening during the Great Tribulation. And remember all the drones? Because they're out there now even more than ever. It's just that the deep state has put a gag order on any mention of drones now in media and social media. The government says don't worry about it, so don't worry about it. And chemical fog in 27 different states.
Particles are still there between the water. And when you rub it, you can see, look, it's just this.
It's not just fog because it's leaving behind this really greasy, gooey residue. And the air smells like it does after a fireworks. What in the world is going on? Last year, Governor Gavin Newsom of California was running for president. And he put up billboards all over America in red states, telling women in red states they want an abortion, they could come to California. And notice on that billboard, he quotes the words of Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Using the words of Jesus to justify the murder of little babies that Jesus creates in the womb to start with. People, that is evil. That's satanic. Amen. Last January the 5th was the Golden Globe Awards in Hollywood, California. 82nd annual. And the host, a comedian named Nikki Glaser, made a joke that none of the award winners ever mentioned God or thanked God during their acceptance speeches.
So much has already happened in the first half, and the acceptance speeches have been on fire. Who got shouted out the most? Let's look at the numbers. All right, cast and crew are leading the way with 11 mentions. Moms are holding strong with 3 shoutouts. God, creator of the universe, 0 mentions. And Mario Lopez, host of Access Hollywood, 1. All right. No surprise in this godless town.
Less than 48 hours later, the fire started in Los Angeles. People, do we have any idea how demonic this fire situation really is? The last 3 weeks, the entire world has been watching the city of Los Angeles, California, burn to the ground. Dozens of people killed, thousands and thousands of homes and businesses destroyed with fire driven by 100 mile per hour Santa Ana winds. The worst fire in California history, the worst natural disaster in the history of our country. And people, the videos take your breath away.
It is like driving through hell itself down here, literally through hell. This is madness down here. These homes are on fire, and you can feel the heat from the flames even from inside your car.
Holy Dante's Inferno, people. It looks like the pits of hell. Now, a lot of people say those fires are because of stupid DEI policies and environmentalist wacko policies. California Governor Gavin Newsom blew up 4 dams on the Klamath River and let billions and billions of gallons of water just flow into the Pacific Ocean. Water that could have been used to put out those fires. But hey, at least the smelt fish are happy, right? And there are Santa Ana winds and wildfires in California every single year. This time, every single year. But for some reason this year, the San Ynez Reservoir that holds 117 million gallons of water was drained for maintenance and taken offline. So fire hydrants all over Los Angeles were bone dry. Firefighters were trying to put out fires with water from people's swimming pools and even milk and pop from people's refrigerators. Other people say it was all the woke fire policies that caused the fires. The state of California refuses to practice forestry management and clear away dead trees and brush that makes fires even worse. The Los Angeles Fire Department is headed up by 3 lesbians who started the department's first DEI bureau last year. Assistant Chief Kristen Larson said this, "Our number one priority as a department is equity in the fire department." Gee, I thought the number one priority for a fire department was, I don't know, maybe putting out fires. Assistant Chief Larson also said that.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better.
Folks, if I'm on fire, I don't care what the person looks like. I don't care if the person that rescues me is pink with purple polka dots. Last year, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass cut the fire department budget by $23 million. And over the last 3 years, they got rid of thousands of firefighters because they wouldn't get the clot shot. When the very first fire broke out in Los Angeles, the department only sent 5 trucks and kept back 35 others and thousands of other firefighters, resources that could have put out the fires at the very beginning. And what's the result? Los Angeles, California is going up like a match. And folks, you know why? Because these fires aren't just a result of incompetence. They're not just a result of DEI policies. These fires are not just an act of God. They are an act of sin on the part of man against God. Because this is evil. This is evil that's going on here. 3 months ago, people that lived in that part of the state of California, for some reason, all of a sudden, got their fire insurance canceled. And most people didn't even know it until their house had been torched and burned to the ground. For 47 straight days, last November and December, there were chemtrails in the sky above the city of Los Angeles. And do you know when those chemtrails stopped? The exact same day that the fire started, and they've never been seen since. There's all kinds of drones in the sky above Los Angeles right now. So many drones, it's stopping firefighting planes from scooping up water in lakes and dumping it on the fire to put the fire out. And last week, Governor Gavin Newsom said this on NBC.
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor. Down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties.
He's already talking about starting the process of selling burned out land in Los Angeles to speculators so they can build Los Angeles 2.0. And he's making that announcement while people are still dying and their homes are still going up in flames. And notice he's so hyped, he's so juiced about it, he's ready to do the happy dance. Nero Newsom fiddling while Los Angeles burns. Amen. And you know why? Because back in 2020 already, during COVID, they came up with a plan called Smart LA 28. To turn the city of Los Angeles into a digitized, data-driven city with telehealth, no fossil fuel use, mass transit, a 15-minute city like right out of the 2030 agenda. And they only have until 2028 to get it done in preparation for the 2028 Summer Olympics that are supposed to be held in Los Angeles. And how in the world are they ever going to meet that deadline? Well, obviously, by burning everything down and making it too expensive for private citizens to build it back. So the New World Order is going to build it. They're going to build back better. Folks, no wonder all the environmental wackoism. No wonder the stupid DEI policies. No wonder they blew up dams. No wonder they drained reservoirs. No wonder they let go thousands and thousands of capable firefighters. Folks, you talk about evil. Now, the state of California generates about $4 trillion a year economically. 14% of the United States total. So if California was its own nation, it would have the 5th biggest economy in the world. And because of that, the saying is, as California goes, so goes the country. In other words, whatever happens in California spreads all over the United States. Amen. People were looking at the Great Reset here. What's happening in California pretty soon going to happen all over the country, and it's killing people. That guy you see right there, 66-year-old Victor Shaw, was found burned alive with his garden hose in his hand, still trying to save his house. My God, you talk about evil. And how do we know this was really on purpose? Last week, an L.A. City Commissioner named Mark Priscilla said this.
We embark upon what is going to be a journey to rebuild these communities back and rebuild them better than they were when we started this fire.
We're going to rebuild this community and rebuild it better than when we started this fire. People, you talk about satanic attack. That is evil straight from the pits of hell and the devil himself. But what do you know? All the rows and rows and rows of burned out houses in the city of Los Angeles. 2 weeks ago, a photographer took a picture of that house right on the beach in Malibu. All kinds of burned out charred houses on both sides of it. Burned out charred houses all behind it and all around it. But not that one. That house was built by the owner of California Waste Management, a man named Daniel Steiner. And the reason that that house wasn't burned like all the other ones were is because that house was built with stone and stucco walls and a fireproof roof. And the other houses weren't. The reason that all the other houses burned and the reason that that didn't is because that house was built to withstand the fire. And you know what, Christians? So are you. The Bible says in these last days, the dispensations are overlapping each other. So right now we're getting a little bit of preview, just a little bit of taste of the fire and the flame of the judgment of God that is going to be poured out on this world before Jesus takes us home in the rapture. We're seeing it right now. And the only thing that's going to get us through it is knowing that every part of our house, every single part of our life is fireproof and demon-free and surrendered to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, when you walk through the fire, the flames will not come near you. So people, the question is this morning, is every single part of your house, every part of your life, body, soul, mind, and spirit, fireproof and demon-free and surrendered to the Lord? Every single one of us wants to have victory over the devil for this country. But listen to me, we are never going to have victory over the devil for this country until we first of all have victory over the devil in our own lives. Amen. And there is not one single person sitting in this church right now, not one single person listening to this sermon, that is not being harassed and oppressed right now by demon spirits, because they're as relentless as a horsefly and they attack us 24/7, 365, because that's what they exist for. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, how are those demon spirits attacking you? What have you opened the door to in your lives? Maybe it is a grudge. Maybe it is bitterness and unforgiveness that you just can't let go of. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's nicotine. Maybe it's pot. Maybe it's the drinking. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's the phone. That addiction that you just cannot overcome. Maybe it's grief. You lost somebody really, really close to you, and you cannot get beyond it. You cannot move forward. Maybe it's the PTSD from the rape or the abuse or the divorce and the way that your ex treated you, and you're still spinning. You're cutting yourself, places on your body where your mom can't see. The anxiety attacks are just getting worse and worse. You've got that spirit of heaviness, and all the antidepressants and all the meds does not take it away. How's he working in your life? What's the devil working in your life? How is he doing that? And all those things just mess you up, and they keep you stressed out, and they keep you freaked out. And you can't be the person that you need to be and that you want to be for your marriage and your family and your job and your church. What have you opened the door to? I want every single person in this room to stand up right where you're at. Stand up and close your eyes. We're sick and tired today of being raked over the coals by the devil. We are sick and tired of being trashed and rolled over and being controlled. Today we're going to pray, and God is going to deliver us from that demonic influence in our lives, from that oppression. And we're standing here today, we're not professional exorcists. We don't have cloves of garlic. We don't have wooden stakes. We don't have silver bullets. The only thing we need, though, is the name of Jesus. So everybody, I'm serious as a heart attack. Would you just lay hands on yourself, put a hand on your arm? Every single one of you Christians, you've been given a spiritual authority by God himself to cast out demonic oppression. We're going to do that today. Lay hands on yourself with your eyes closed. Right now, just briefly, I want you to confess every sin in your life right now to God. Take a moment in your own heart and your own mind. Confess any involvement that you've ever had with the occult, even those stupid movies you watched back in high school. Confess any sexual relationship that you've ever had outside of marriage, because that's a way for the demon to get in too. And right now I want you to surrender every stronghold, every addiction that you have in your life. Just tell the Lord that I give that to you, and I trust you're going to take it away by your power. And I'm doing this too in my own heart, because I've got areas of my life that need surrender. Right now we're going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the image of the invisible God who came to destroy the works of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command demonic oppression to go in the name of Jesus. Because these people do not belong to you, they belong to the Lord. And no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And greater is he who is in them than he that is in the world. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. And their freedom. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. And those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. At this moment, You are free. You need to walk in the Holy Spirit. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit as you leave this church today. Me, the same thing. We can be free of this. Free of this. Some of us for the first time in our lives. Victory over the devil. In the name of Jesus.